Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 208, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Wednesday, October 27th, 2021, 4 days away from Halloween. Oh. But, you know, we don't need to be counting down to any particular day because today is, of course, Navy Day.
Wow.
And Black Cat Day.
Wow.
And most importantly of all, National American Beer Day.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, it's about time we celebrate the great American beer.
Swill beers.
Yeah. Just beer that doesn't taste like beer.
Although, shout out the micros. You know, there's this Lagunitas non-alcoholic thing they make called a hop fresher or something. Have you had that?
No, I've had hop water, and it tasted too much like an IPA for me, and it just like just like, I don't know.
I put a little grenadine in it, and it turned into the greatest soda I've ever made in my life.
Wow, grenadine IPA.
I'm spooky. Yeah,
you're out here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka So I Soak. Yeah, just leave it laying inside holes and letting friends move us around. That is courtesy of Kale Satan at J Music Chicago. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
I got the toaster, mom said miss me, so I'll try it. Got that strawberry pop-top, that pimp is fire. Got my toaster, drop that pastry, feeling's right. Got that strawberry Pop-Tart and it's fire.
And look, if you know Blueberry Yum Yum, you knew what that was. And Christy Yamaguchi Main or Christy Yamaguchi Slain in this spooky era of ours came through with that wonderful AKA because you heard about the struggle of my Pop-Tart struggle with my mother.
Mm.
So yeah, thanks for that one.
What is Blueberry Yum Yum? That's just a song.
You don't know Blueberry Yum Yum?
Mm-mm.
Hold on. You had to have heard Blueberry Yum Yum because you like... You like the Dungeon Family. You like enough Atlanta stuff.
Yeah.
That was Ludacris and Sleepy Brown.
Oh, okay. I might have missed
No?
it. I was pretty specific to Outkast.
Outkast, like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You weren't for the whole Disturbing the Peace when 2 Chainz was Titty Boy era? Okay.
Titty Boy, what a name. I can't believe you didn't just stick with that.
Hey, man, he's like Facebook. He knows. He knows when you got a losing message. He's going to switch it up.
Titty Boy
isn't quite blowing up the charts like I thought it would. Let me take a break and come back. It's 2 Chainz.
All right. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the funniest writers and editors of our time. He was the editor-in-chief of Gawker and Deadspin when they were
the
best sites on the internet. He currently is the founder and writer behind the great newsletter, The Small Bow, and hosts the Recovery Podcast, Really Good Shares. Please welcome the brilliant, the talented AJ Delario!
AJ!
What's up?
Love it. Thank you. Nothing. I wish I don't have to do any of the bubblegum yum yum songs, right? Or anything like that.
No, I mean, unless you got one on deck.
No, I don't. No, I was so impressed at just like how you guys do this. This is amazing.
Hey,
we try.
I have notes. So I'm coming here knowing that you guys are pros at this. So I don't want to screw up your show.
not at all.
How was that joke? That's my first note, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like you might have over prepared for our show, but that's great. We love it.
Yeah, it might get us to first rate at some point.
Yeah,
comfortably a second rate show at the moment.
Yes, we feel good about it. Where are you coming to us from, AJ?
I'm coming to you live from Larchmont.
Hey.
The whitest town in Los Angeles, as they call it, right? Yeah, as it's known.
Yeah, yeah.
The best Rite Aid in Los Angeles is in
It's up
Larchmont.
There. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to be there a little later on buying Halloween candy.
Got it all. Oh, got nice. A Pan Quotidian. Yeah. I mean, there was that sneaker store. Is Kicks still on Larchmont?
No.
Nope.
Long gone, unfortunately.
No.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And then they had a... Kicks shut down, and then they had this like pop-up shop that was like a faux Kicks. It didn't even have walls. It just had a curtain that went around it.
Oh.
And
like pipe and drape kind of thing?
Yeah. And then they would the people who worked there would like kind of disappear behind the curtain and come out with the shoes. And I bought 2 pairs of shoes there, and I'm pretty sure they were both fakes. Like they basically didn't work as shoes. They like squeaked and like made weird noises, and like it was the Silver Bullets, the Air Max Silver Bullets, and
yeah,
when I pulled on, you know, they had that little tag, it just like popped open.
Oh,
so not great, but yeah.
Oh, so there's a pop up, maybe like trading on the good name of Kicks to peddle their third rate wear.
I kind of admired it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's smart. That's smart.
Nice. All right, AJ, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about today. We're going to talk about the Virginia governor's race. We're going to talk about the coming GOP outrage over Thanksgiving prices. It might be our most expensive ever. We're going to talk about the official top 10 most popular Halloween candies and where they rank.
We have another ranking?
So the takeout just put together like the according to I think sales, like what are the 10 most popular, and then they rank them according to deliciousness, and I wanted to kind of get you guys' thoughts on Halloween candy. We're gonna talk about a bunch of Facebook bullshit, plenty more, but first, AJ, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Yeah, and this was a little tough for me because my 4-year-old son calls my phone every time, so it's all about dinosaurs, actually.
Hell yeah.
So he keeps asking Google to scan Albertosaurus, Carnotaurus, Dilophosaurus. And then the only thing that was actually from me was, will Shiba Uno reach 1 cent?
Oh, yeah. Where's it at right now?
I know. I went down. I became a crypto person because I don't do drugs anymore.
Wow.
So, you know.
So that's what you do instead.
Gotta get that bill
exactly
somewhere. Yeah, I saw that thing where like they were like, yo Elon, how much Shiba coin you hold? And he's like, none. And then it's like
oh man,
right, only a little bit. That's when you jump in, you ride for a dip,
buy the dip, baby.
You out over your skis on this Shiba Uno stuff or what? Tell me what's going on the markets, man.
You upside down? What's going on here?
No, man. I just dumped another $20 in there. So now I own 7 million Shiba Inus, yeah. Which for a grand total of $327. So
there you go.
But if that thing reaches a cent, then I will have $71,000. So
I mean,
come on, Shiba.
Yeah, well,
there you go. And
what are we at? 1/4 millionth of a cent at the moment?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So is are dinosaurs kind of a singular obsession for your 4-year old? Where
Yeah. It was trains for about 2 months, and then dinosaurs are now dominating right now.
We are in the midst of a sort of tail end of a almost 2-year long train obsession with our 5-year old that I wish would turn into dinosaurs, because at least those are a little bit more interesting to me.
Dinosaurs are so fascinating, because I'm every time he talks about them, I'm like, why did I ever stop like getting into dinosaurs? Right? I mean, it seems like it's weird that it doesn't carry over to adulthood.
Yeah,
because they're kind of incredible, right?
Oh, of course,
and, much better than trains. Yeah. I mean, I was not big on Thomas the Train.
Thomas sucks. Thomas.
Did y'all
so
have
strange.
Dinosaur phases as kids?
I was singularly into sharks
because
Jaws, just Jaws,
right?
Yeah, and just like wanting to be eaten by a shark, wanting to see a shark eat someone. I was a fucked up kid.
You wanted to be eaten by a shark?
Yeah, that was my life's goal.
That's fucking deep, dude.
Nice.
I was also into like slasher movies. I just liked watching things be killed in movies.
When I feel a little squirmy, you know, like, I mean. Are you out on this show in terms of as a recovering person, or am I like, you know, screwing
you
up?
No, you can. Yeah.
You are? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. You're in the secret club.
That's right.
But yeah, no, when I get those kind of urges now, I usually either buy crypto or watch the little boy in Jaws get eaten in the raft. And that's
just that,
because it's been on Netflix for about 6 months. Yeah, you know, that's where I put all that kind of that drug energy that I used to
ride. See, I'm a sick fuck. I like to watch Brady get smacked in the face by his mourning mother. That's what I'm into, you know, the real heartache of it all. So I have I have a 3-year-old too, and like I've noticed that a lot of the shit that like kids get obsessed with overlaps with the things that like blockbuster movies tend to be about, like, you know, space, dinosaurs, sharks, superheroes, but like trains never really made the right, like I guess Under Siege
Taking
two.
Of Pelham 1-2-3 money
yeah,
train
taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
What else we got here?
Yeah. We watch that every day, just like Frozen. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 A money
Frozen,
train every
taking
day.
Taking Pelham 1-2-3. Yeah.
I guess it's like more an ingredient in a lot of movies rather than like the whole concept of the movie. But I do.
Under Siege?
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's no shortage of movies. I'm just wondering like why Spielberg hasn't like made the train movie to end all train movies that like, you know, just saturated the world's train needs. And I think the explanation is it's the worst of the children's obsessions. It's just like the least interesting. And
it's about George Stevenson, the creator of the locomotive, and how people were like, dude, you'll never do it. And it's just called Loco.
There you go. We're spitballing. We'll edit that out so that we can get
so we can pitch that to Amblin later.
Yeah. Trash trucks also. Trucks and trash trucks are probably due for a big blockbuster treatment.
He's into some hard graft, man.
Yeah.
Like, just like, yeah, man, it's heavy machinery. Because I remember when we were over at the place and I showed him that, like, Dutch trash truck video, he was just, he was like, what the?
He hasn't stopped talking about it. Yeah.
He's like, where's the Netherlands? I'm like, it's a beautiful place.
It could be worse. I saw a kid and his parents like run up to a police officer, and like the kid was obsessed with police officers and like thought they were really cool.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, I'm glad that's not mine.
Do you have that talk right now? Do you have that talk?
The ACAB talk that all cops are kind of like sort of, you know, like as much as you can without getting into details, but you know, just talking about like how, you know, because like they were into Paw Patrol for a brutal couple of months. And, you know, the cop there is, you know, a hero. And I don't remember exactly how I put it, but I've definitely tried to like shade things a little bit so they're not like all cops are the heroes who save us all.
Right. Like the police act as agents of the state who have a monopoly on physical violence.
Yeah, exactly.
No, because sometimes my son will say something along the lines of just like, oh, will he go to jail? And I'll like correct him. Yeah. Like, we're a prison reform family. And then, you know, that's not something really, goes over his head at this point. But
Right. And you're like, we'll incrementally roll that up.
Yeah. You start early. I mean.
That is one of the things that Paddington 2, another, it has a great train scene and also a big like prison chunk. And that blew my kid's mind. They were asking me about prison for like a week after that. And it's like, it's fucked up. I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you. It's not good. They do that. Like if you break a rule, you have to just go there. And it's not as fun as it looked in Paddington either.
Show them Oz. Have them watch Oz.
Right. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, like, no, let's change the tempo up a little bit. This is out of DC. Yeah.
What's something you think is overrated, AJ?
Oh, man. You know, I don't know the tenor of your show exactly just yet, but I this is what I had, and I thought long and hard about this. Cologuard. Are you familiar with Cologuard?
Oh, I see the commercials.
Yeah. No. Well, because I mean, for those of you who don't know, it's supposed to be a more convenient way of basically taking a colonoscopy, right? So they send you this box instead, right? And and the only reason, I mean, I'm not squeamish about the colonoscopy, but I mean, in terms of just young children and setting a time for this is kind of tough. So I took the box, right? And thinking that the box was going to be kind of exciting, like it's a skill game. You crap in a box and then someone comes and grabs it, and then they let you know whether or not you have colon cancer or not. And it's just a lot more complicated than that, right? I mean, I was expecting in my head, like, you know, I'll poop in the box, and then it'll be just like in Seven with Gwyneth Paltrow's head being transported by some, like, you know, faceless delivery man into the desert. But it's not. It's a lot. There's a lot of directions that I haven't really fully, you know, read at this point. But also, since like, you know, the doctor basically puts in the request, all the Cologuard people kind of harass you. Like, where is your sample? I get calls all the time from the Cologuard people basically begging me to send in my box of poop. And I haven't done it.
Come on, man, just give us your
but
shit.
At this point, I mean, Cologuard is not all it's cracked up to be. I mean, I thought there would be like a week of me kind of climbing all ladders, trying to drop it in the box from different heights, you know. I mean, but it's not like that at all. there's Q-tips and just samples.
Yeah,
that little shit basket that you have to set up in the toilet.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd just... That the cup would runneth over. Like, I don't know if I could regulate like when to be like, okay, that's enough sample.
Sure.
Now take that thing out. But that's a very maybe unique problem to me.
Like the challenge, I was picturing like having to thread the camera up your asshole, but they're able to just use a sample to like figure it out. Huh?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, 23andMe.
Right. Yeah. Don't get those boxes mixed up. 23andMe is going to be pissed if you. Yeah. No. What's something you think is underrated?
And this was kind of sad because this is the first thing that came into my mind that I was excited about: hard-boiled eggs. But then I moved off of that because I'm like, you know, this doesn't seem like a show that everybody's going to be like, oh, hard-boiled eggs. I love them, right? You know.
Finally.
So I went to chocolate malt Ovaltine, right? You know, which my son is drinking a lot of, and you know, it's one of those things that actually is a lot better than I always remember it. I mean, it's kind of like the tang of chocolate milks a little bit, right? But it's actually quite good. I mean, if you shake it vigorously, it gets all bubbly, and it's full with 12 vitamins and minerals, and actually very good for you.
Yeah, and they are. You told us that they were a personal, like you have a unique arrangement with them. They're a personal sponsor and you come on other people's podcasts and kind of, you know.
No, we're sponsored by Cologuard, actually.
Cologuard. Yeah. I think that was pretty clear. Right,
right. Yeah, yeah.
The themed episode.
Now, Ovaltine is meant to be mixed with milk and not water, correct? Because I feel like I've
both.
Had...
I do both.
Wow. The water version really, I think the few times I've had the water version kind of fucked it for me. But the milk version does tend to be pretty delicious.
No, the way you do it is they call for two scoops. You do four. Then you do a splash right. of water just to kind of
right.
just to kind of get it wet. And then you hit it with right. the milk. And then you just you do it. Kind of like bar shaking. Like you're making a martini, basically. But it's Ovaltine. And then it comes out frothy. And it's very, very good. And also not as heavy and thick as chocolate milk.
Do you do the shake over the shoulder like you're...
What I do is I dump... I have two cups and then I just kind of dump them back and forth into one another.
Yeah.
Until everything's all mixed together.
That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. I was always on Nesquik as a kid. I don't think... And I would do the same thing as like... It didn't... I don't know what the recommended serving amount is. I just did it till the shit was like super thick.
Super
right. like now, now this tastes good to me.
Yeah,
and then sometimes I'll eat the powder raw. My mom would catch me. She's like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" And I'm like, coughing. It's just like all drying out my mouth. I was an idiot, but I love that shit.
Yeah.
Like the cinnamon challenge, basically.
Yeah.
Before it was that, it was me trying to eat just tablespoons of Nesquik powder and realizing it was not even close to what I thought it was going to be.
No vitamins and minerals in that, though, Miles. Unlike rich, chocolatey Ovaltine.
Well, I would then I'd do a line of Flintstones vitamins.
Those are still out here to level off. The Flintstones vitamins have outlasted the cultural relevance of the Flintstones.
By
quite a bit. My kids.
Do some kids just know it as a vitamin at this point?
My kids somehow know Yabba Dabba Doo, but they don't know what the fuck the Flintstones is, and they do take the Flintstones vitamins.
You're like, where'd you hear that, boy? Tell me now. Yabba Dabba Doo. Who told you this? Do you recognize this man?
No. What's happening to our
We
society?
Don't show them the Flintstones. We do show them the old Winston cigarette commercials with starring the Flintstones about how healthy and smooth the Winston cigarettes are.
Right.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone. Transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system. Or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And the Virginia governor's race is a dead heat. This feels like one of those stories. I've seen it a lot of places. I have not let it in to this point enough to like start caring or following it. But it seems like maybe I have to. I feel like the guys at Crooked Media would really want me to give a shit about this race.
They're going to tell you why it's going to predict everything that's going to happen for the next right. 2 years politically, sure. Which a lot of people are going all in on that take. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting state. It's purple. And also, you know, the governor there has been trying to do the best by the people, while you also have a challenger who comes in and is trying to do the walking the fine line of like being MAGA. But because it's not a full blown red state, like you got to kind of be like, I mean, I don't agree with Steve Bannon. I just like some of his ideas type shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, messaging can like make or break a campaign. And Youngkin, who is running against Terry McAuliffe, he may have found a winning message, you know, as I said, to win over, especially the even keeled independents in the suburbs. As we notice, that's something the GOP is very concerned about. It's like, we don't want to turn off independents in the suburbs because, you know, they're concerned parents who are deeply invested in their children's futures and they're not always into just full blown racism and dog whistling. So when they hear about this mother's story and how she was just absolutely just destroyed by the policies of Terry McAuliffe, I have a feeling that people are going to be voting Youngkin. So I just want to play this clip just so you can understand. And just when you're listening to this woman speak, imagine someone who claims to have had an immaculate conception with the ghost of Stonewall Jackson. That's kind of her vibe.
As a parent, it's tough to catch everything. So when my son showed me his reading assignment, my heart sunk. It was some of the most explicit material you can imagine.
Oh, no.
I met with lawmakers. They couldn't believe what I was showing them. Their faces turned bright red with embarrassment. They passed bills requiring schools to notify parents when explicit content was assigned. It was bipartisan. It gave parents a say. The option to choose an alternative for my children. I was so grateful. But then Governor Terry McAuliffe vetoed it twice. He doesn't think parents should have a say. He said that. He shut us out. Glenn Youngkin, he listens. He understands. Parents matter. Join me in voting for Glenn Youngkin.
Okay, so you heard it.
Right.
Oh my God, my child brought home a book and the things contained within. First, I want to say, any guesses on how old the child was?
Six.
11.
11. Okay. The kid was in a high school senior AP English lit class.
Wow. Okay.
And the book, any guesses here? Had to be an AP English.
English lit. Okay.
Canterbury Tales.
Okay, that's one. Okay, interesting.
Moby Dick? I don't know.
It was Toni Morrison's Beloved.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yes. That's what she was so OMG gasp, my jaws on the floor, because we're hearing about this story that's based on, you know, a terrible tale about this woman who had escaped slavery and was being brought back to bondage and was like trying to do anything she could to avoid that. That's the fucking book that this lady's talking about. They were talking about Toni Morrison's Beloved. She has been, now, this didn't happen recently. She had began this campaign against the book in 2013, being like, wow. I don't know, like, what, my child, and she would say, my child has nightmares because of this book. I read it. It's a pretty powerful book. And again, you're in a class that's meant to be college level when you're in an AP class. So yeah, you're going to start reading things that aren't just fucking, you know, Indian in the cupboard or some right. shit. And so, yes, this is the outrage that Glenn Youngkin is trying to be like, okay, let me keep it super vague and just keep it that like this spooky, haunted Confederate ghost lady was just shocked that her child had to hear about the brutality of chattel slavery.
That's unbelievable. That's
yeah.
And you, it does suggest, because it is like notably vague. I guess it does paint right. a picture in your mind, because you're like, oh, it must be just, you know, hardcore fucking, like whatever.
Right. What, right. What is,
you
it?
Know, what exactly is happening here? That's, and it's a Pulitzer Prize winning, like universally acknowledged work of genius.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But I mean, I think it speaks to sort of like just in general yeah. what conservatives are all on about, right? Because it's all critical race theory and these things of just being like, we can't keep like making people aware of our past. That's just too much. So we need to do everything we can to try and just put a sheet over it and then just keep moving and say that's just some other thing that happened. Eyes ahead. Yeah. Eyes ahead.
Yeah. You're going to want to cut some eye holes in the sheet, too, just to...
Yeah, you know, yeah, of course. And so you make sure you're riding the head your all pointy at yeah. the top. Yeah.
You don't want your torch to, like, catch other stuff on fire.
No. I think that's a vague thing that I think if most people learned what this woman was speaking about, they're like, what the fuck? Like, okay. Like, most people, if they took that class, have had to read that book. And no, people don't have nightmares. It's funny because people checked up on her son. He's fine. He had a wedding announcement in the New York Times a couple of years ago. So I think he's gotten over his Toni Morrison induced nightmares.
That's a very specific type of person who has a wedding announcement in the New York Times, too. So he's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That is amazing. And why is this such an important race? Like, just catch me up on why I should have been paying attention to this.
I think a lot of people look at it, you know, as a somewhat bellwether kind of state, but more than that, like a serious sort of gauge of what people think of the parties, given Biden's approval ratings and things that are happening, to see if people are going to back a Democrat or if they start to see some support slip towards Republicans. It's just a thing to just for wonks to try and sweat over. You know, sure. Some people argue it's like not as important, but this is like the horse racification of politics. So like every single like, no, this one, man, you got to pay attention. Because I was saying before, the recall with Gavin Newsom isn't really a accurate depiction of what's happening in the state or like in the national politics. Like that was a group of Republicans trying to sort of game the system of like recalling a governor to try and get someone else in, more so than like, what do the people think of Democrats and Republicans at this moment?
Right. Yeah. I mean, just like from a narrative standpoint in the mainstream media, it seems like the two major narratives are like Biden's approval is like in the shitter, but like the Republicans are still fucked. So it's like almost like, so this gives them an opportunity to be like, one is less fucked than the other one, I guess.
Yeah, or maybe it's like, do people care that there's nothing on the agenda actually being accomplished? Right. Does that still warrant support? I don't know. I mean, it's just a very strange moment, as like most people who are like living in the harsh reality of America are like, things need to happen. And yeah. Then on the Hill, it's like, I don't know, should we tax billionaires? Is that popular? I mean, it's certainly not popular with my donors, but
From that perspective, like, would it be better if a Republican won so that the Democrats, like, got scared enough to actually fucking do something? I don't know. I mean,
everything's so reactionary. I don't.
Yeah.
Either way, like, I'm like, I don't have much confidence in this just general political system we have in this country to begin with. So it's like, I don't know. Sure, maybe.
Yeah.
But I could also see them being like, see, this is why we went too far left.
Right.
You know, there's always that. There's always that logic, too.
Well, I will withhold my donation to Youngkin for now. All right, let's talk about Thanksgiving coming up. Thanksgiving 2021. And it's going to be more expensive than past ones. Thanks a lot, Biden.
Byron!
There's a number of factors making this year's dinner a bit pricier. You know, there's supply chain shit. There's the
labor shit,
labor stuff going down. What's going on, Miles?
Inflation, weather, everything. It's like an omni crisis. I mean, quick question. Are y'all having Thanksgiving meals? Are you doing something this year? I know 2020 made it a lot harder for people, but this year, are you guys planning on doing something?
AJ, are you?
Oh, me? You want me to go?
Okay. Yeah. Fine. Yeah. And feel free to speak. Whenever.
Yeah, that's fine. I didn't know which order you go in. Fine. Absolutely. Palm Springs is where we go in Thanksgiving with our family. We're those people.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't eat meat, so it's basically just yams and cream spinach and other things for me, right? No tofurkey.
Got it.
No, I don't do tofurkey. I don't do, like, non-alcoholic beer. I don't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean. I just
you're not looking for, like, replacements.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
No. What about you, Zach?
We're still figuring it out because my in-laws might be coming out from the East Coast. So,
but different probably than, like, last year. Did you do anything last year?
No, we didn't do shit.
It was super local. Yeah, I was the same way. I honestly think I just, like, made a salmon or something on Thanksgiving that I got at the store. But now, I think they say a lot of things are happening too. They feel that consumers are going to be more like spending more money this year to kind of make Thanksgiving a more premium experience because last year so many people were like not doing anything. So it's like, fuck it, let's go big. Let's maybe buy a nicer turkey this year than like the typical frozen one. But like, for example, turkeys, they're going to be more expensive mostly because the cost of corn has basically doubled. Like the corn feed that commercially raised turkeys eat, that should have just gone through the roof. So again, costs are being passed on to the consumer. And again, because of like this desire to make Thanksgiving more premium, there's also just like creating more interest in these sort of like other kinds of organic or humanely raised turkeys that people are tending to opt for. Then you look at stuff like packaged dinner rolls. They'll be higher because basically all of the ingredients that commercial bakers use has gone up because of supply chain issues. Canned sauces and things like that will cost a little bit more because domestic steel plants aren't putting up the same output. And then China is limiting steel production to like reduce carbon emissions. Mm. And there's just a ton of these like little things that are adding up to just sort of make the costs higher. Sweet potatoes, for example, their biggest thing is they don't have truckers to get the product off the farms and to market. So they're now paying because of the shortage in truckers, their like moving costs are double too. And as everyone says, that's just something the consumer is going to have to literally eat. And extreme weather is another thing affecting the, you know, coffee in Brazil to sugarcane refineries in the South. There's just a ton of things that are all coming together to just, you know, bring the price up a tad bit. And already you see shortages like wreaking havoc. They're like, people say there's like barely any wooden pallets to ship stuff with or like cardboard containers because everything's just become more expensive or super scarce.
Right. And it just goes right to the consumer, basically, right? Like, that's
that's the only way they can make it work. It's not like, fine, I'll eat this cost, so then they can still get it for that. It's like, no, then the cost goes up now, because right. That's just sort of the thing we're in.
I just have one question. The corn thing that you said, the corn price has doubled, and the corn is used to feed the turkeys?
Yeah, so a lot of commercial, so their feed has gone up in cost to even raise the turkeys. So because of that, it's just like, well, shit, their food costs more. So then this meat's going to cost more because it's,
is it used to fatten the turkeys? Is it like a foie gras thing? They're like a corn mix that they shove down the turkey's throat and then make it fat.
That is definitely what I'm picturing in my mind when I picture like like how they feed, because those things are massive in a way that seems unnatural.
No, I mean, I don't think I'd imagine there's some hormone stuff going on, because even as you've seen with chickens, like there's chickens whose the breast meat is so intense that like they can they can't walk.
Right.
But yeah, that's again for most commercially raised factory turkeys. That's why I think, you know, if you're people are being like, oh, I'm trying to go organic, then the feed might be different and just sort of the praising practices are different and then those costs go up. But I don't know if you've noticed, like, There's a lot of just small things like in day-to-day life that I am seeing become more scarce. Like when I went to the store the other day, normally like the produce bags, like at the one supermarket I go to, they're out of produce bags completely. Wow. And like they've moved on to like using like really generic, like thank you printed shopping bags for produce. And
oh,
I was like,
wow.
Damn. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, what's going on? I was like, I'm guessing it's like a supply thing. He's like, yeah, we haven't. They're like, this is the best we got. And I was like, wow.
You asked to speak to a manager. You said that, let me talk to a manager. This is unacceptable.
I absolutely did. And I slammed my loquats on the ground in disgust.
Yeah. I like don't have a like fully formed take on this or most things, but I do wonder like why a lot of these costs are being passed on to the consumers, and like inflation, and like the top story on Reddit for the past 24 hours is like how much Disneyland tickets have gone up. And since the year 2000, it's like from $41 to $164. And I feel like that's always something that's like being brought up by the like right more than the left, as like, you know, the right's just like, well, you know, it's all these prices that like these higher wages that we're paying the working class. And I just feel like that's almost like we just cede that to the right because they're the ones who like got economics degrees or whatever. I don't know. It feels like they're like the people who are paying are the people who like the left is supposed to be, you know, working on behalf of, but like there's not like an aggressive argument about like around inflation and its effects and like how that kind of fucks people just as much as a lot of the other shit that we like actually call out.
Sure. I mean, I think there's us also too, like there's an element of, you know, like you look at Disneyland or other places, they're doing everything they can to offset losses from 2020 now.
Right.
So there's just like this thing of like, got to make up for that because we were not in as the black as much as we could be. But yeah, then there are just things generally, because I mean, if you look at supply chain issues too, there's just like places like Walmart and like hotel cartels and groups that do massive buys of certain items. And they essentially can dictate to the suppliers like what the cost of something is because they're buying so much, like they are the market essentially. So then that creates a bottleneck too, or just pressure on suppliers to even say like, well, now we got to move our shit to China, because if we're going to do business with Walmart, we need to make better margins on like these massive like sort of buys that they're making on certain goods. It happens with drugs too, like pharmaceutical drugs and things like that. But I mean, a lot of it too is like we have, you know, huge supply chain issues that many people at the beginning of the pandemic, especially economists, are like, the supply chain is going to get caught out there because everything's become overly centralized and there isn't enough support for like small business supply chain companies and things like that.
Mm. All right, let's take a quick break and we will be right back to talk about Halloween candy.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, It's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out What's New on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
And we're back. And so the takeout has been basically ranking and re-ranking the list of the 10 most popular Halloween candies, just ranked by sheer volume of sales, I guess. And so here's their list of like the top 10 in the order that they rank them in terms of deliciousness. Coming in at the bottom, Tootsie Pop, which I think the big surprise there is that it's in the top 10 of candies. I think that's like probably like Fox News's ratings. Like it's more of a thing that is just a remnant of an older generation that's still hanging around.
They're still alive. They're still alive, folks.
Number nine is M&M's, which is the original M&M's. It's not they're like the regular original brown bag M&M's are in the top 10 on their own. I feel like they should have just let M&M's live as an entire category. You know, that would
really,
yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get through the list. I have to wrap my head around the totality of it before I can start getting upset.
8 Jolly Ranchers, 7 Hershey's Mini Bars. So, this just going back to the M&M's thing, they're letting Hershey's Mini Bars exist as like the little chocolate bars, but also like the Mr. Good bars,
that
like
special
crackle.
Dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they get like the whole spectrum. 6 Sour Patch Kids, 5 Snickers, 4 Starburst, 3 Skittles, 2 Twix, number 1, of course, Reese's Cup, which I think they nailed most of it. Like, I think in the, like, Reese's is definitely the first thing I count up after I steal a kid's Halloween bag and, you know, see how much
I got. That's always. I get excited for those. I love Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces, wow.
It's weird. I have, like, a weird. I'm more chocolate above everything. Because in my mind, that's like the real, that's the good shit on Halloween is chocolate. The fruit candies like Starburst and Skittles and things like that. I hate Jolly Ranchers. Just put that out there. I think the apple, green apple one tastes like absolute shit. The watermelons taste like melted plastic. And I don't know. I guess this makes sense. A Reese's at one and Twix at two feels right for me, personally.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
AJ, how about you?
AJ, what about you?
The only one I disagree with right now is I think the 10, which is the Tootsie Pop. I don't know. Because it's not Tootsie Roll, right? You said Tootsie Pop? Right,
yeah, right. The owl one.
The owl one, right. Yeah, I don't see that. Someone had to pay someone to get Tootsie Pop in the top 10.
Right. Massive lobby.
There's a payola happening.
I think it really is, though. For instance, they rank these in a number of different ways, and one of the rankings was nostalgia, and Tootsie Pop came in at number one, which makes sense to me because that is one that has been, it's one of the first candies I ever remember eating. Also one of the first candies I ever remember being disappointed by.
Right.
Yeah.
And but it does have the owl that, you know, it's just kind of iconic, even if it doesn't deserve to be.
I don't think it's even iconic, though, right? I mean, it's iconic 20 years ago, it feels like.
Right,
Who are we?
I feel like Takis are more iconic.
Yeah.
M&M's, too, I don't like. I don't think, you know what makes it, and we have a lot of M&M's right now in our house, but I don't know why this never occurred to me, but they're all different colors, but in the same flavor.
Right. Like
the candy-colored shell tastes exactly the same across the board.
This does
nothing
for me.
Right.
I mean, it's just why even have colors if they're not going to taste any different? Skittles taste different. Starburst taste different.
AJ, they have different personalities, though. The green is really horny, and the green is sexy. I think. I guess
green is sexy. Yellow's stupid.
Right. Yeah.
Red has reptile.
Stupid. Yeah, stupid, but well-meaning. I think.
Right.
Which one is the teacher from Whiplash? Does he play yellow, or does he play?
The one that's all doofy?
Because, the red one's meh, meh, meh. And the yellow one's And then the green one's I'm sexy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know who the...
Or J.K. Simmons?
J.K. Simmons, that's who I was talking about. Yeah, J.K. Simmons is the voice of the yellow M&M.
Wow.
I would say he's more good-natured, Miles, than stupid, but...
That's how I look. And see, everyone projects their own traits onto the M&Ms. I think that's why it's a very powerful marketing tool.
Yeah.
But with Tootsie Pop too, did you ever do that thing when you were a kid, you'd eat it, you got to a certain point where you were done being patient to get to the Tootsie Pop, and you're just like, fuck it, I'm chewing the fuck out of this thing.
Yeah. Same thing with Blow Pops too. Yeah.
Right.
So I really like Blow Pops.
I would replace Blow Pops on there.
Blow Pops, absolutely. Blow Pops, I would just kick the shit out of Tootsie Pops.
I would do a fucking backflip if someone gave me a Blow Pop right now. That would truly be oh my God, what? I haven't seen you in years. That would really do it for me.
I think there's big Tootsie Pop is holding them down because of also because of the, you know, just gum. Gum is gross. It gets all over the place. It's probably annoying.
You swallow it if you're a kid.
Mm. Yeah. But
I'd say you'd a Blow Pop, you chew on it, and then you're like, just swallow it. I'm thirsty, and then you swallow it. I used to swallow so much gum as a kid. I had a problem.
I did a Ocean's 11 style heist of a bunch of Blow Pops that our third grade teacher kept on his desk, actually, I guess it was on the weekend we went in and were able to steal a bunch of those.
Into school on the weekend to steal some Blow Pops?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah. I mean, didn't break in. The door was open.
The door was
They were doing a cleaning.
Oh, doing the little cap of the January 6th?
You say Ocean's 11. I'm picturing you doing the French guy thing underneath all the laser lights and basically just
Right.
Yeah. There was some dancing. There was some acrobatics, but it was fully for show. There was no real need for it.
Right.
Or the me getting dressed up as a ambulance driver and my friend faking a heart attack.
You're like, I'm Lyman Zerga, and I'm here for my Blow Pops. This is one thing I'm curious about. What about savory snacks on Halloween? Because I remember there was one time someone blew up the paradigm at this neighborhood I was trick-or-treating at as a kid and gave really good chips I had never seen. And maybe they just had a chip company that maybe they were just trying to get rid of some dead inventory. But I remember being hey, that was cool.
Yeah.
Like, because I like chips. And yeah. I know maybe candy's just sort of seen as more of a luxury good because a parent would be like, don't eat too much candy rather than like, fine, eat as much sodium as you want.
Yeah.
But like, I'm always, part of me is like, when can I, you know, I'd like a little savory treat too. This doesn't have to be sweet supremacy.
Just a nice ladle of oatmeal to go right in the bag.
Just right in my mouth.
Open up, I think Pringles. One. Pringles should actually be
Pringles
part of the Halloween.
Pringles would be a good. Oh, yeah.
Like mini, that. Yeah.
Little cans of Pringles?
It, nobody, yes. Nobody's saying no to that.
Right.
Mm. No. Yeah, and that would, you'd lose your shit.
Yeah.
As a kid. Like getting those little mini tubes, or now they got them in those little plastic, like sleeve type things. But I don't know. Just saying, folks, think about it.
Yeah. So you guys don't fuck with M&Ms? You're not, like, the peanut M&Ms are not a fixture on your candy Mount Rushmore?
Nope.
No.
Nope. Wow.
Reese's Pieces, great. Yeah. I think Reese's Pieces, basically just like, those are the proper use of the M&M shape and candy coating stuff.
What about the colors, though? Are you mad about the
orange
colors
and yellow? What is it? It's just two colors.
Orange, yellow, brown.
Yeah.
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 There's brown? Okay. Well, that's fine. Acceptable. Okay. Just because you know they're that feels like it's a uniform for like Reese's, right? I mean that's right, more right. That's what, so
right. Yeah, that's a good point.
M&M's just added another color. What I mean, they threw in blue what like 15 years ago, and everybody like that was a big deal. But blue tastes exactly the same as every other M&M.
Yeah,
but I think that's the genius of it too. Because I was like, fuck, dude, there's blue ones. I gotta buy them now. And then I was like, fuck, I'm just eating a bunch of M&Ms that are all stale.
Yeah. It would be a great magic trick if someone can be blindfolded and then kind of distinguish between the colors of M&Ms, right?
Oh.
That is like, that would be a great, like, completely useless superpower that somebody has. Right. Like,
that you could taste a commercial food diet.
Yeah, America's Got Talent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's Yellow 5. Wow. Uh-oh. You sure about this, folks? This is Yellow 5. I don't know what I'm eating, but I like it.
Do you guys remember when this was, I think, like 30 years ago when they brought back the red? And like, I don't know if it was urban legend or this, if this was like actually true, but like the red was gone because it was giving people cancer.
No.
You don't remember? What? Maybe that might have just been something I made up.
Yeah. I thought red always existed though, right?
No, red was gone for a while. Red disappeared in the 80s after a study linked a certain red food dye to cancer, despite Mars not actually using that dye.
Mm.
So, Lancaster Online. Never lied to me before because I've never heard of it. But
so Mars owns the M&Ms?
Yeah.
Mars bars still exist? Mars bars, I think, should crack the top 10, actually. I mean, very good candy bar.
What is Mars bar? I actually am not familiar.
Mars bar is kind of like Snickers, but almost a little more of a sophisticated Snickers, I feel like.
Wow.
I don't know. Imported caramel? I'm not sure, but might have. I think there's nougat involved.
Yeah, in there's
Mars.
Nougat.
Yeah,
and almonds. I think is the thing that makes it different than a Snickers.
What's the nut in Snickers? Peanuts.
Peanuts. Yeah.
Is it?
Hmm. Well, then there's also almond Snickers, but those
right
have a weird off color wrapper that makes me uncomfortable.
What do you
frankly,
think of white chocolate Reese's?
I don't like it as much as regular Reese's, but I will allow it for sure.
I'll allow it. Yeah. I can abide. But I'll reach for the original too. And now those other ones that they got with the potato chips inside, have you had those?
I've had the pretzels in there. I really enjoy
those. The chip
one
is, that one fucking bangs too.
Yeah. Do the chips stay crunchy? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like almost criminally so.
Yeah. Like, no, that's what, teeth. Like, I'm very suspicious. I'm like, either the chip's going to be soggy as fuck, in which case I'm not going to enjoy it, or it's going to be crispy, in which case like they've used some chemical on this that should not be, like, is definitely not permitted in the EU. Like,
yeah,
for
it's made of
humans.
Like desiccant gel that they use to like take the moisture out of stuff. Cause
right.
It's like, I mean, it's wild. Like how much you're like, oh shit, that's fucking crunchy. Okay. Fucking knocked a couple fillings loose, but I love the sweet and savory.
So the Mars looks like it is a Snickers bar, except it's got like a layer of just kind of sort of soft chocolate instead of the peanuts and caramel up top. Is that what I'm picking up here?
I guess. Okay. I don't know. I haven't had one in a minute.
There's something more special about Mars. It's not just soft chocolate, whatever that means.
Yeah.
It looks like, I think you're seeing
caramel.
Just the caramel.
Yeah, I'm seeing the caramel.
Yeah, with the nougat.
The Wikipedia photograph on the Mars page just sliced it with like a very sharp knife. So the caramel is not like stretchy at all. They've just, it just looks like they've surgically bisected it for some reason.
Yeah.
All right. So Jolly Ranchers was one that I was really into as a kid. They are a real pain in the ass, though, if I'm being honest with myself. Like, having to have something in your mouth for that long is not great.
Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah. No time for that anymore.
Because then there's, like, the little wrapped-up rectangular prism ones. Then they have the ones that just used to be, like, straight-up, like, flat strips.
Sticks, yeah. Right? Like this, yeah. And those were like, heavily traded in my elementary school.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, I mean, kids would go to, like, Rice's Flea Market, which was like outside of like Jersey, and buy huge bags of the Jolly Rancher sticks.
Right.
And then come in and it was like, you know, trading cigarettes in prison basically with these sticks. I mean,
Jolly Ranchers, or JRs as they were called in Dayton, Ohio at the time.
Yeah.
And blow pops were absolutely like fucking currency on the schoolyard.
And especially if you've got like the watermelon Jolly Ranchers and the fire sticks, right?
Yeah.
The Jolly Ranchers cinnamon fire were incredible.
Yeah.
I always like remember like that's what, like the cool kids, they would have the sticks but leave the wrapper on like they were eating a burrito, just peeling it back as you like worked your way down. Like I have a very specific image in my mind of like it's 1994 and the eighth graders are all like, yeah, dude, keep the wrapper on.
I think that's going to come back now that you mentioned it. I think I can just like picture like Machine Gun Kelly with like the unwrapped, halfway wrapped Jolly Rancher stick.
On the red carpet, and people were like, oh my God.
And believe me, I mean, that would like skyrocket. Like, Jolly Rancher sticks would then crack the top five independently, easily. You know,
do you think the long flat ones are permitted in prison? Because I feel like you just inadvertently turn them into shivs, immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You could file that down and get a good edge on that, probably.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Use a lighter to just kind of harden it. I mean, look.
So Miles, your ranking would have all chocolate up top, including Hershey's mini bars.
Yeah, and even M&M's.
Wow,
like
okay.
I'm not
okay.
Like
okay,
because I didn't. I remember like Starbursts are fine. I like Starbursts, but again, I will always pick the chocolate candy over the fruit candy. That's how it is.
I really like God made me their Skittles Starbursts and Sour Patch Kids. I've gotten a new appreciation for them as my palate has become more refined, as I've aged.
Not my juvenile palate.
Yeah.
Only
did your wife
chocolate.
Eat the Sour Patch Kids when she was pregnant? Did you get the 10-pound bag of Sour Patch Kids?
No.
They work with the nausea? Yeah. No, I invested in that. And and having that many Sour Patch Kids around.
Oh, that's.
It's kind of fun. Right. And it's just like, like they're always there.
Like make a little Sour Patch Army.
Think about like when you get like some Sour Patch Kids and you're basically done with the bag and this, you're never done. You're just like, oh, if I'm in the mood for Sour Patch Kids, I have a good 7-8 pounds of them at my disposal at any time.
I could use a ladle to procure some out of this bag just for the fun of it. Like, here's another scoop.
And when you're done with it, is there like 2 pounds of sugar at the bottom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is.
That's
fun. It looks pretty nasty. Yeah. But
not
as bad as like old M&M's bags. I mean, if you just like have like this, the mini bags of M&M's, they get like real saggy-esque very quickly. And I think that's part of the reason I don't like the M&M's, because I just feel like they're discarded very easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially the brown bags and the...
Brown bags.
With the classic M&Ms, I feel like there is a point that you are correct that like those are the ones that I'll find like in a drawer somewhere like 2 Halloweens later.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like that built-in, you know, best buy date in the sense that if you open them and they're like white... That's usually a bad sign.
But it's weird how quickly they can go from kind of fresh to looking like they were left out in a thunderstorm. Right? I mean, it's just like,
And
I don't know, no other candy does that.
Yeah.
I don't even do M&M McFlurries. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, the M&Ms are not good in ice cream because they get too hard and then it takes too long to
break your teeth.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know, I'm trying, Eminem. I'm trying to work with you. No, but,
I think it's out of the top 10 by the end of this.
Do they have like a hazelnut, like Nutella type Eminem?
I'm sure they've tried it. Apparently, there's a new Eminem popcorn, chocolate-covered popcorn that is, I don't even know what that would look like other than just chocolate-covered popcorn, and they're calling it Eminem, but they really fumbled the Eminem pretzel. That could have been great.
Oh, I remember, dude. I remember that came out because I think I saw, like, in one of the seasons of Hard Knocks, like, Rex Ryan kept eating them.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit, dude. Rex Ryan is living that fucking life. I remember, like, he starts, like, I think there was, like, a moment he's like, dude, they got pretzel M&Ms, the best commercial I'd ever seen. Even though I'm not even, like, a Jets fan or anything. I was like,
right.
I Rex Ryan was just kind of, like, a living meme in, like, my friend group. Oh, and yeah. We were just always like, dude, look at this dude. He's living.
There you go. All right. Well, AJ, it's been such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist, man. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
Yeah, you can go to thesmallbow.com, and that's B-O-W, you know, with small and bow. Mm-hmm. Thesmallbow.com.
Nailed it.
But it's spelled like the small bowel sometimes, so I don't want to confuse people. Then, obviously, I mean, Really Good Shares. We're part of the iHeart podcast family, and you can find that wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
I think we're at Instagram as the Small Bow Newsletter, and then at Twitter at the Small Bow.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Check it out. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. And if you like 90 Day Fiancé, come by and check out 420 Day Fiancé, where I get high and talk about 90 Day Fiancé. Now, if we're going to talk some tweets that I like, this one is from Langston Kerman, at Langston Kerman. He says, sometimes I want to judge self-help Twitter, and then I remember how inspired I used to feel from the trash talk on And One t-shirts. And if you remember the And One basketball brand,
hell yeah, man,
with like the faceless avatar logo, the first one that he posted was a shirt that says, go to church, pray you don't guard me. And then another one is like with the And One character like dribbling. It says, my game and your breath, the two strongest things on the court. And
wow.
I'm like, yeah, this is
that's
fantastic.
A little complicated, but I like it.
There are two more that I like. This is from at Sarah Winifred tweeted. I saw a 6-year-old girl at the playground who caught a sparrow in her hand, and her mom was like, oh yeah, she does that. I wish she'd stop. The most logical explanation is that I'm a supporting character in a middle grade novel.
That fucking rules.
And then last one at JL Barrow, in reference to Dave Chappelle, said, I thought, quote, Twitter wasn't a real place. Now outcry is costing you opportunities? Is it Uchiwali or One Mike? I'm tired. The Nas and Jay-Z.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Tweets I've been enjoying. Kevin Secha tweeted, will I enjoy the French Dispatch? For reference, I'm a porcelain elf figurine in a tweed vest that plays the viola when you push a button. And Dorothea Paz tweeted, moms are always like, can we tackle the front hall closet today? You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song are we sending people to go check out?
Pump day, you want to feel good, you want your boot jumping up in your boot. Well, this is what you're going to do. You're going to search this track from Sir Was, W-A-S. It's called I Want to Feel Like That. And it's like a, you know, kind of psych pop R&B kind of jam. Really, really fun production and upbeat. And again, it's just something that'll have you singing out loud. Because
you say,
I
have your boot
like
jumping up in your boot?
Are they wearing boot jumping boots? Up in your boot. Wow. Yeah, man.
I love it.
Like the fucking pizza place.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you find your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. But we're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. And we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring the Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.